I'm glad you're listening to Selling to Schools Radio. I'm your host, Glenn McCandless. And for the next 15 minutes, you're going to get important updates on funds that school administrators can use to buy educational technology products and services. It's the first in a two-part series about some really big changes going on right now in Washington that you need to know about. And there's implications for how you should be talking about your offerings to your customers and your prospects. So with that in mind, I have with me now one of our most popular guests, a real expert on funds that educators use to buy your products and services, Dr. Jenny House. Jenny is the president of Red Rock Reports, and she has for years stayed on top of what's happening and how the changes in funding will affect your sales and marketing plans. So, Jenny, it's so good to have you back on the program. Everyone is always excited to hear your insights about funding. I mean, what could be more important? Welcome back.
Thank you, Glenn. Happy to be back.
Well, that's great. Well, Jenny, I know there's a lot going on. There's always things happening at the federal level with funding, and funding policies have a huge impact on our business. I know that my listeners are going to want to hear what is going on. So let's just start with the big picture. What are the big macro things going on that people need to be paying attention to?
Glenn, this is an unbelievable year in terms of, you know, shifting sands, and it has a lot to do with what's happening in Washington, D.C. If we just stood back and said, what does the 2016 budget look like? Really, there are a lot of increases for education, and I'll get into those later. But I think we also have to look at the politics that are going on. Number one, the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act is really important for us because that's what dictates our funding from the federal government. And it's been stalled for 7 years. It's just about to pass. That will impact everybody's budget, but we've all of a sudden got some defections from Washington. With Boehner leaving the House, he was one of the architects of No Child Left Behind. And even though he isn't intimately involved, he's been a supporter of the reauthorization in the background. He was very knowledgeable, whether you agreed with everything he said or not, he was very knowledgeable about education. And he was trying to get everybody on the same page. So that's a worry. Then, as we all know, the Secretary of Education resigned. You've got Duncan leaving, who also was really instrumental in what was happening with the reauthorization. Those two being gone, it's kind of who's going to be making the decisions? And with the change of leadership in the House, that's a little worrisome. So those are things to worry about, but the good news is this is an election year, and cut education, that wouldn't be a popular thing for anybody who's going for re-election, so we probably won't see any cuts.
Well, that's good to know. And Jenny, just going back to this ESEA reauthorization, I know that there's people listening who will say, yeah, we've heard this. You said 7 years, but for some people, it seems like 70 years. It's like we keep hearing these rumblings. We're finally going to get around to reauthorizing this program, which has accounted for how many billions of dollars that have flowed out to the companies in our industry, Jenny? Yeah. I mean, it's been a huge source of funding.
Yep.
A lot of it through Title I and all these different programs. And, of course, it's more important than ever. But do you really think it's going to happen?
Well, now that's in question. I did think it was going to happen. The House has passed its version. The Senate has passed its version already. And it's now in committee. But even though it's in committee, you're still waiting for the leadership to drive it through and get it out. So the next couple of weeks are going to be very important. Who's going to lead the House?
So remind our listeners and remind me, too, in the absence of a reapproval or a change in the law, isn't there a provision for level funding?
Oh, yeah.
So anyone who's listening, who's sitting there wondering, oh my gosh, the funding's going away, I don't think that's the message. But the message is that it will be stable, right?
Right.
It isn't going to be like additional funding or big dramatic changes. It'll be sort of business as usual.
Definitely.
Until they do something.
Well, even if they passed it today, it wouldn't impact this year's budget. It would impact 16-17, not 15-16, mm-hmm. and that's where we are right now. I think actually this year, the picture is good. You figure that the school districts, it's about 8-10% of their budget comes from the federal government. And most districts, that's what they use to buy the discretionary products. Because so much of the general fund goes to salary and operations. Really, only about 15% goes to buy things that all of us provide. So I think the picture is good from the federal government this year. There aren't really big cuts, and there's some clear winners.
That's really good to hear. So I know that I've heard from my clients, I've heard from people that contact me about trends that are going on in the industry, and certainly I've seen with my own clients. There's a tendency for people to believe that in an election year that it becomes an excuse, another way for a decision not to be made to buy something. Well, we're not really sure what's going to go on with funding, so we don't want to make a commitment. And now, of course, with our industry moving towards software as a service, cloud-based services, which are subscription-based,
right.
I think this may be exacerbated, that people will say, well, we can't make a long-term commitment to anything because we don't know about funding. The election's coming up. Arne Duncan's resigned. We don't know if the ESEA is going to be, and yes. As you point out, it's 10 or 12%. So what's your advice to a salesperson who's out there in this environment? How would they respond to this kind of a reaction to this, even if it's not stated? Right. Are things they could say proactively in a sales conversation to allay those fears?
Well, one of the things when you have a year like this, that this year looks good and next year is vague, is to front load any of your professional development that goes with it, some of the things that you might have considered moving to the next year, so that when you put the proposal for a long-term license or subscription in front of them, put a lot of it into this year's money because mm-hmm. they know they have this year's money. And then if they look at the bid, it's not as expensive for the following year. That makes it much more attractive.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. So I'm sure people are listening now saying, okay, great. So I'm selling X. Is X sort of a big winner? Is it a loser? What are the kind of the things that people need to be thinking about if they're out there and they're selling a product or a service? Who are the winners? Are there any losers? What's going on with that?
Right. Good question. So the good news is ESEA, also known as No Child Left Behind, the title programs, Title I, Title II, Title III, those all are either flat or have an increase. So that is great. Title I got more money. I don't know if you realize that they just put out a report in 2013. We always know that NCES lags in terms of their reports, but over 51% of the students nationwide live in poverty.
Wow.
So the Title I money is going up, but also the amount of students that we're serving is going up.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is a lot of our hardware is bought with that, a lot of our software subscriptions, our software as a service, that's the money that's used for that. STEM is always big. And don't forget professional development is part of that. Title II for teachers, teacher quality, also called great teachers and leaders. There's lots of professional development money. But one of the trends we've got to remember is there is going to be a teacher shortage. The schools of education are not pumping out the teachers. A lot of districts are going to be looking at that to use to train people coming in on emergency credentials.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting one. But those are all good. Special ed has an increase as well. But we've also identified a lot more special ed
students.
That's
right.
And we know that the federal government doesn't give enough, the states supplement that. So, but it is good. The important thing is it isn't cut. And one of the things that you want to remember in your special ed If you have anything to do with career and college readiness, that's a big thing that they're emphasizing in the regulations this year.
Mm-hmm.
That kids with special ed that have been labeled special ed, whatever their disability is, any product that's helping prepare them for careers or college, that really want to look at that, and that can be used with your special ed money. The big winner is preschool, that there really is a bipartisan support to have preschool in public schools across the country. Guess what? The research, and I'm the age that this is, we've known this, then we ignored it, and now back on the stage again, that we really need to work with these children early to develop language skills, early computational skills, before they start kindergarten. The number that Congress has is $75 billion over 10 years.
My goodness.
To establish these. So if you have a product for preschool, this is a big one. And it's not just for the students. It's also to train the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
There's still Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge grants that are being awarded to the states to train the teachers, establish standards for early childhood for these preschools. Because a lot of the preschools, the teachers, they didn't even have a college degree, let alone any training to be a teacher. So the emphasis is student achievement and teacher quality. So that's probably one of the biggest. And then the fourth area is CTE, career and technical education. Are you hearing a theme here? Preparing students for careers.
What a concept.
What a concept. Remember, if you're selling into that market, there's an increase in the money, but you want to be able to align with those 16 career pathways in the career and technical education sphere. So any alignment that you can show that you are supporting any or all of those pathways, that's an important part of CTE.
I would think, Jenny, as I'm listening to you, I think about so much of our work in our industry and with people listening to this program for years has been alignments to standards. It's driven our entire business, really.
Right.
Everybody doing these alignments and
right.
Going in and talking to the curriculum director, talking to the superintendent, talking to teachers. Oh, this is aligned to the curriculum. What I'm hearing from you is that's still true, but there's this overarching shift away from people going through the paces of their education and coming out and not having a clue what they're going to do for work.
Yes.
So the idea that, hey, school's actually supposed to prepare students to get a job and do something productive for our economy, not just know the capital of Kansas.
Exactly.
Right? So that is a big deal because from a messaging standpoint, you know, I'm a marketeer. That's my deal.
Yep.
And I work with lots of companies on what's your message. What I'm hearing from you is they need to look at their message and to see, is there something in our message that supports this, right?
Yes.
That's
and
what
that
you're...
is from preschool on up. You are giving them the skills to be successful in the world.
Right.
And global as well. So big time. It's not just STEM. It's not just reading. It's all of the skills holistically prepare these students for jobs and success.
Amen.
And that amen is a signal that it's time to wrap up the first of our two-part school funding alert. I encourage all of you listening to be sure to listen to part two. Jenny's going to be giving you specifics about funds for educational technology and more advice on what you should be saying and doing and when to funnel federal funding into your revenue pipeline. So as we close, I want to again thank you for listening and especially thank Jenny House for being on the show and providing her wisdom and advice. It's absolutely terrific. I also want to remind all of our listeners that the STS Radio Archive has dozens of these 15-minute programs with school sales and marketing insights that you won't hear anywhere else. You can listen anytime when you're on the go, and our advice hub, sellingtoschools.com, is absolutely packed with tips that will help you advance your career in the school market. So check it out and tell all your industry friends about these amazing free resources. Hey, Jenny, I can't thank you enough for being here. And I'm really excited about part two of our school sales and marketing funding alert for 2015.
Thank you for the opportunity, Glenn.